Hey, welcome back to the Mindshare Podcast. This show is sponsored by Kit's Keep In Touch Systems, a two-time international award-winning marketing suite for sales professionals. REM Real Estate Magazine, Canada's premier monthly magazine for real estate professionals. And ORREA, the Ontario Real Estate Association, Canada's largest provincial real estate association. You can learn more about all of our sponsors by visiting my site, mindshare101.com. And while you're there, check out the details and get yourself registered for our annual Mindshare Mastermind taking place in Toronto on September 16th through the 18th. Plus, be sure to download your free copy of the Ultimate Marketing Bundle, as well as learn more about our one-to-one coaching and keynote speaking. Today's episode is number 280. There is so much happening out there in the world of real estate here in Canada. That said, there's a lot of people in the industry right now wondering where all of that happening is. It's certainly not the same market it was just a couple years ago, and the spring market has certainly not started off the way everyone would have hoped. I mean, don't get me wrong, there is action, but most wouldn't exactly call it like action, if you know what I mean here. There is some inventory, but most sellers are still in a height of the market 2021 mindset, thinking they're going to sell for some ridiculous price. And then on the other side of things, we have buyers who many are going through the toughest financial times of their lives right now, with higher interest rates than just a few years ago, along with rising costs across the board for everything from like gasoline to groceries. We're seeing houses which were way overpriced that are now reducing their list price while attempting to court buyers into thinking they're getting some screaming deals. It's a period of adjustment out there right now. And one thing we know is that although it seems to have all been happening very quickly, we're now into year two of a market that is trending downwards rather than upwards. All of that said, as you listen to this episode, this isn't about doom and gloom, because no matter what, there is certainly opportunity out there for you. It's all just a matter of what kind of systems and processes you have in place to set you up to take advantage of it all. So today's episode, it's not just you and me, and in fact, it's not the typical Mindshare podcast episode you've become used to, where like I interview a guest on my show. Instead, I am the one being interviewed. Todd C. Slater is widely known as the Simple Investor. He hosts a radio show on News Talk 1010 and recently invited me to be his guest. We covered a variety of topics, and well, I thought it would be valuable to share the show with you, where for once, I'm the one being interviewed. Enjoy.
Hey there. Welcome to the show. Wow. Can you believe it? I can't believe how fast the spring's going. You know what? Do we have a real estate market? I don't know. You know, it seems like the news is always misleading everybody. You know, we're worrying about the Bank of Canada, of course, you know, coming up this week. And what are they going to tell us? They're going to tell us that they're not going to do anything with the interest rates, so they're going to affect everybody. And of course, that doesn't exactly make anybody happy. You know, we want a spring market, don't we? Do we not want to make things more affordable? I think so. So, hey, listen, you know, before I get into my rant too quickly, you know, I got a great show planned for you. I got a guest. He hasn't been on the show for a few years with me, but it's great. He decided to join me here in studio. So I've got David Greenspan joining me, and I'll introduce you in a few minutes. But hey, look, by the way, you know what? It's out. It's been dropped. You got it. So guess what? Coming up on our Simple Seminar webinar, you got it, coming up on Saturday, April the 27th at 11 a.m. Guess what I'm going to be doing? You got it. I know everybody's been wondering. I am going to be giving away two down payments, one in-house in studio for $56,000 and the other one, of course, on the webinar. So do you know how you improve your chances? Guess what? Be here in studio. You're going to love it. You know, every time I do one of these webinar seminars, everybody gets really excited because, you know, sometimes I give a lot more away when you're here. So you know what? Go to thesimpleinvestor.com. Make sure you register. It's going to be a great, great morning. We are going to talk about navigating what's going to happen with the actual real estate market itself. There is going to be some changes. I'm telling you this. And so I'm going to help coach you through some of this stuff as we always do here at The Simple Investor. So it's going to be really exciting. So go to thesimpleinvestor.com. Make sure you register. And I'm really excited about doing it. And by the way, if you're not following me on Instagram, TheSimpleInvestor1, that's where you can catch me. And of course, I have a lot of fun with that. you can check out my podcast. And when you go to the Simple Podcast, of course, that's me a little bit unfiltered. So I have a lot more fun there. But hey, listen, this is radio. And as I mentioned, you know what, joining me in studio, he has not been here in a couple of years. I do run into him once in a while. And of course, if you are a realtor and you're looking for some coaching, you got to make sure you go and take a look really, really hard at David Greenspan. Just so you know, David is the CEO and founder of Mindshare 101. And hey, David, great to have you in studio.
Oh, it's an absolute blast to be back. I appreciate the invite. It has been some time, but I got to tell you, the new studio is absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, thanks.
You've done a great job with this place.
Hey, look, you know what? I have a lot of fun with this stuff. And as you know, real estate, you just can't miss on. You know, I think everybody should own it. And you know, when we decided to design this, I thought, hey, look, why not make it so it's conducive to have people like yourself come in? You know, we just have a nice casual conversation about the important things such as real estate. David, I know for a long time that you have been like a leading voice in coaching of realtors. Tell everybody a little bit about your company and kind of a little bit of your philosophy.
Absolutely. You know, everything that we're doing is really built on the aspect of building mindshare. As we were having a conversation off air before, right? When you think about running shoes, what's the first company you think of?
Nike.
When if I said soda pop, what do you think of?
Coke.
Okay. And if I said fast food?
McDonald's.
Okay. That's what you call mindshare.
Hang on. Investment in real estate.
Simple investor, right? That's exactly how it goes.
Yeah, exactly.
And so what we're doing is we're helping realtors, we're helping businesses, we're helping a whole bunch of different people
right.
build up their business, build up that brand equity out there so that when people are thinking about what they do for a living, they think about you first. And it goes well beyond just thinking about a number of different brands or a number of different companies that do it. But it's about, we want people to think of the simple investor when they think of investing in real estate.
Yeah.
And so that's exactly what our entire premise is working with salespeople, working with businesses, working with them to scale, to build up that brand awareness and help them do more business.
So what got you started in this? Because you originally were a realtor, weren't you?
No, actually, I was not originally a realtor. I originally grew up in the world of real estate.
Okay.
My father owned a brokerage for the first 20 years of my life.
Okay.
I grew up behind the front desk of a real estate office. I remember typewriters and whiteout and black and white MLS tear sheets. I remember the first cell phones that came out. I remember the pages. I remember the pocket full of course. I also remember what the people back then were doing to have a ton of success.
Right.
And back in 06, we started a company called Kits Keep In Touch Systems, K-I-T-S. So it's a keep in touch system.
Yeah.
It does everything from CRM to mail, email, social media marketing, websites, the entire gamut of marketing for realtors.
Yeah.
Well, we took that from doing it actually for corporate, built it into the real estate space. And from there, you start to realize a lot of folks need a lot of assistance when it comes to building up their brand.
Right.
Shortly after we built that company, Mark Zuckerberg comes out with this thing called Facebook. And so now we're having to battle social media. But what you're also trying to do is trying to educate people around this, the idea of marketing and what to do to build that brand awareness.
Right.
And you realize you're spending a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of effort with people to help them get there. And as they're getting there and they're starting to have the successes they want, you start to realize, wait a second, there's a whole other world of what we could be doing here to help people.
Yeah, sure.
And there's the key word is helping people.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, I couldn't agree with you more. And I do like your mindset on this, of course. You know, it's interesting because, you know, David, when COVID hit and you know, here, I'll date myself. Let me reverse for a second. So I got licensed in the early 90s, right? And,
yep.
And so I know the tear sheets you're referring to.
Yep.
And the MLS books, by the way, they really do support a dining room table if you have no leg. But, you know, so back in the day, you know, fax machines, you know, press hard, 6 copies. Like, you know, realtors today have it so much easier.
It's a different world.
But they also have it so much harder, you know, because, and I am going to blame, I don't think blame's the right word, but I'm going to talk about COVID for a second. So COVID really redefined and changed real estate to the point where, you know, people would buy online a house. They would negotiate online. Like, you know, the interaction from the typical realtor that would pick somebody up, drive them around, you know, that's all gone by the wayside. Now, then you turn around, you know, the invention of realtor.ca, everybody could turn around, they start reaching out to the listing agents going, oh, maybe I can go around the commission aspect of things. Like the business has evolved and changed, good and bad, over the last decade more than it had in 40 years before this.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a different world. What happened with COVID changed everything. People, well, if you recall, they shut down the whole idea of doing open houses.
Yeah.
They encouraged people not to go door knocking. Don't connect with people. It started to become a lot more virtual in a very amplified way.
Yep. Right. Because we were getting into video. Video started years ago.
Yeah.
That whole dynamic of get on video.
Yep.
Do it for your marketing.
Sure.
What COVID did was it forced people and it made everybody, both consumers, home buyers, home sellers, as well as the realtors, completely uncomfortable. We still have a major population of people that don't want to go near the camera.
Yeah.
They don't want to be in front of it. One of the big disconnects there, and when you say the good and the bad, the good was, hey, it allowed us to connect with people from an arm's length or from a distance and still have those conversations. The bad is that it took us away from connecting with people.
Yeah.
Notice how I said the exact same thing right there.
Yeah, exactly.
And what we need to remember and what all realtors need to remember, and even again, the home buyer, home seller, it is a people business.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you're going to deal with people that you know, like, and trust. Well, how do you build that? It's not just about know you. It's not just about like you. You've got to be trusted, and it's got to be trust on both ends.
Yeah. And you know, when you say trust, I mean, here's the one thing, and I hope all realtors understand this. For the majority of people, this is the biggest transaction they'll ever do in their entire life. And, you know, there are people that consider that they sell houses, and there should be realtors that understand that they're selling a home. And because it becomes so personal, and despite the fact that, you know, there is that part of the industry where people just talk about commissions, 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 I think that you have added back some of the humanity to being a realtor, understanding how to connect.
Listen, we got into this fad, this roller coaster of the marketing world in the real estate industry, where we started calling people leads.
Mm-hmm.
We have to do lead generation. And the thing that everybody needs to understand is that we're not leads. We are people.
Yeah.
We are family members.
Yeah.
We have children. We have households and mortgages. We're humans. So you're not lead generating. You're trying to build relationships. The more you build relationships, the more opportunity you create. And I've told everybody, you don't want to go out there and build relationships. You don't want to talk to people. You're in the wrong business. Now, much the same when we look at the landscape and the environment of the people that are out there, the culture of the industry, and it's rapidly changing. It just is what it is, especially when we look at the country we live in and the amount of people coming in, right? It changes the culture of the way the business is done. The culture change then starts to impact the way people do the business, which impacts the way people see realtors. And now we've got a big revolt against the realtor going, they make too much money. They're not worth it. They shouldn't even be there. You could do it all in an app. Well, I'm going to tell everybody, no, you can't. This is the type of thing that when you get the right realtor, the right person who truly knows what's going on with the market, has your best interest at hand, that is a person you want there because they're going to keep you safe. Because like you just said, this is the biggest asset of somebody's entire life.
Yeah. And listen, for my listeners, you all know that when you hear me talk, I always am a, you know, definitely an advocate for full-time professional realtors. I'm not going to, you know, beat up anybody that's part-time. You all know how I feel. And one of the reasons why, David, I'm so adamant about this is that, you know, people that transact every single day, they have more knowledge. They're going to be focusing on their actual client themselves as much as, you know, giving them the right information, making sure that they understand all the obstacles. You know, you mentioned commissions, and folks, we're going to go to a quick break shortly. And I do want to talk to you about commissions, because commissions is an interesting thing. You know, you've got in the United States right now, and I don't know if everybody knows, but, you know, big lawsuit against all the major brokerages down in the U.S. Like, we're talking billions of dollars when we talk about what's happening. There actually already was a judgment for $400 million in commissions in a state. And it's people sitting there saying that, you know, the system's been gamed and that they locked in the interest rate, commission rates. But in Canada, that's not the same thing. So we're not looking at the same thing. And I do want to clarify that with David. And by the way, as I had mentioned a little bit earlier, of course, coming up on Saturday, that's April the 27th, 11 a.m. You don't want to miss out. This is the next Simple Seminar webinar. And of course, you know, what have we done in the last two? Well, you know what? We've given away five total down payments for a one bedroom, $56,000 down payment. It gets you into being a real estate investor without having to come up with a down payment. It's a pretty incredible program that we've got. And so go to thesimpleinvestor.com to register, and you don't want to miss out on that. And of course, when we come back, we're going to have more with David Greenspan. So stay with us. We'll be right back after this. And welcome back. If you're just tuning in, my guest this hour is David Greenspan, and David happens to be the owner, he's the CEO and founder of Mindshare 101. So, you know, when we talk about real estate coaching, just so you know, it's one of those things that any person in any business, any industry, athletes, everything, you know, how do you get to the top of your game? And, you know, this is one of the things. As many people know, once upon a time, I used to, you know, throw the Canadian flag on the back and I skied for, you know, all over the world, competing on the World Cup and the North American Cup and all that. And, you know, I couldn't have done it without coaching. You know, I needed coaches to be able to help me understand how I could be at the top of my game. And, you know, that's one of the things that David has been able to formulate over the years and watching what makes people come to the top of the game. Now, David, just before the break, you and I brought up commissions. And commissions is one of those things that I'm going to agree and disagree. I think that there are 80% of the realtors out there that are overpaid. Sorry. And 20% I think have earned every single dime. One of those reasons, of course, was during COVID, you know, and as we came out of COVID, you know, 21 was a massive market in real estate. And there were so many realtors that, you know, they made a lot of money and, but they really shouldn't have, they didn't have the experience, but they just somehow were able to get under that lucky star. You know, when we talk about commissions, I think that that should never be the driver for a real estate professional.
Listen, yeah, you bring up that time. And it's funny because a lot of people at that time were able to, in 30, 60 or 90 seconds, sell a home. And then what they did, in which was completely wrong when we talk about marketing, is they went in and promoted how much over asking they just sold the property for. Look at me. Look how great I am. Forgive me. If you're selling a property in that market and you're sitting there going, look at what I've done, you didn't do it. The market did it. And that's exactly, the craziness did it. What I've coined is the toilet paper mentality, right? Sheeple, right? People following, people getting word, going, oh, look what he's doing. I got to go do the same thing.
Yep.
So there's a lot of marketing that was done that was distasteful. And I'm with you. 80% of the people should not be making the money they're making. 20% of people absolutely should be making the money.
Hands down.
There's a lot of amazing, amazing people in this industry. And that's why it bothers me when I see so much hatred going towards the industry about realtors are not needed and I could do this on my own. No, when you find the right person, you can't. You don't have the knowledge that these people have. Now, you just brought up the lawsuits that are out there.
Yeah.
And we know there's one down in the States. Yep. And there's been some settlements
multiple.
That have already
happened.
Multiple. Yeah. We know that up here, they're trying to do some of the same.
You hear the whispers, and in fact, some lawyers are actually starting to take this on.
Right. Okay, now here's the thing, though, and this is what everybody's got to understand, is when they think about price fixing, the first thing I want to make clear to everybody tuned in right now, whether you are a realtor or you're not, and realtors very well know this, to all the consumers, you have tons of choice. You have all sorts of choice. There is the point where you can negotiate the commission rates you want. There's different companies that offer different commission rates. If you don't like the option you've got in front of you, you've got a wealth of different options out there. So right away, there is no price fixing going on. The next thing that gets me is that when they're trying to go to the association level, the brand level, you're going to tell me that you actually expect the brand to be able to police the 10,000, 100,000 agents that they've got under them? I mean, you might sit back and say, yeah, they should. Guys, let's be real about this. They're humans. They're a board of directors.
Of course.
You can only manage so many people, and you can't manage a kamikaze attitude that happens that somebody does where they come in from maybe one walk of life, do business the way they think it could be done. They may not be attuned to what we do here. How are you going to sit back and point at the brand? And then beyond the brand, go to the association and say it's the association's fault.
Yeah.
They have no liability in this. Forgive me. That's my stance on this thing.
Yep.
The association is doing everything they can. And we both know, there's a lot of great people in those associations.
Yep.
Volunteer hours. They put in a ton of work. They're doing everything they possibly can to help their boards, their associations, their people. They're trying. Mm-hmm. They're trying to educate them.
Sure.
The brands are doing the same thing.
Yep.
You can only control so much.
Yep.
So I think it's important that we bring that up for people because, again, to everybody who's got a real issue with commission or price fixing or looking at the lawsuits thinking, oh, my God, and even the realtors thinking, my business is about to crumble. No. If you do good business and you can continue to prove your value, you will continue to sustain.
Yeah. Look, here's one of the things that, you know, was brought to the forefront during the 21, you know, increase. Obviously, you know, 123,000 transactions in the GTA area, massive record breaking. And what a lot of people turn around afterwards. And this is the thing. And I'm going to pull one on the consumers here. And I know everybody's going to get upset with this, but did the realtor twist your arm to go $200,000 over asking? And so a lot of people turned around and they said, look, in multiple offers, I was told if I don't come up with a higher price, I won't get the home. Okay, well, that's fair. You know, I'm probably dating myself, but if anybody remembers Cabbage Patch Kids, right? So Cabbage Patch Kids, you know, they put them in the marketplace.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah, so they sold out, right? So what happened was some smart dads figured it out and went, well, my kid, you know, all these kids are going to want Cabbage Patch. So I'm going to go and buy up as many Cabbage Patch. And then they put, and by the way, folks, yes, there was newspapers. And yes, people put ads in the newspaper to sell the Cabbage Patch because we did not have social media, right? So what ended up happening was there, you would actually see in the Toronto Star, Cabbage Patch Kids for sale, $1,000 for a doll that they paid like $30 for whatever. And these guys were selling a ton of them, right? Supply and demand.
Toilet paper mentality.
Bingo. So then you turn around and you fast forward to 2021. And when a house came on the market, there was 200 buyers or 100 buyers for that one property. What do you think is going to happen? If you want to be the winner, if there's 80 offers, there's 79 losers. Get over yourself. Okay. You don't get a second. You know, if you want to be the winner, that means you were the person that came up with the most money. And you can't blame the realtors for that. And that's where, you know, the media, everybody's jumping up and down on realtors. Look, there's a lot of bad apples in the industry,
yep.
But that's not the bad apple action. That was the consumer saying, I must have this house in this neighborhood. What's it going to take?
And therein lies the problem. We could turn around and say, well, hey, realtor, why didn't you advise the person differently? We could look at the mortgage broker and say, hey, why did you give them that much money? I still look back at the consumer and say, hey, you're the one with the due responsibility to sit back and say, okay, if I got qualified, I'm going to use random numbers here, but you got qualified at a half a mil for a mortgage. You went and looked at a house that was 700. You're already a little bit higher than you should have. Then all of a sudden the house sold for a mil and you're sitting there going, but I really want it.
Yep.
Did anybody put a gun to your head?
No.
Did they tell you you had to buy that?
No.
So why did you do that? Well, because I was scared. Of losing.
Bingo.
And we know fear is the biggest motivator most people have in life.
Yep.
Fear is going to stop most people from doing anything, or fear is going to force people to do something.
Yep.
That's where it came in. But I think there's a lot of illogical people that looked at it and said, rates are extremely low. I know I can't really qualify, but rates are low.
Yep.
Oh, you could get me extra money. Yeah, I'll take it.
Yep.
Where's the responsibility in that? I mean, I remember going back, if you go back, what was it? Maybe 2017.
Yep.
Might have been 2007.
So
I'm going down to the States.
Okay.
And the foreclosures everywhere.
Oh, that's
and
no,
you were talking
no,
about,
that's okay.
So they were doing the
that's Fannie Mae 2008.
Okay.
I turned
there it is.
And they were giving you mortgages for 130% of value.
Right. So I remember watching one particular interview, and the interviewer was asking this gentleman in front of his house with yellow tape that he couldn't go in. Why'd you do it?
Yep.
Because they let me live the American dream.
Yep.
Done. There was no thinking. There was no logic.
So subprime mortgage market is what you're referring to. 2008, 2009, the crash and everything blew up on everybody. Because in 2007, you could get 130% value of your property
right. With
a mortgage.
But why did you do it? Because you saw your friends do it.
Of course.
The whole adage of keeping up with the Joneses.
Of course.
And I question it again right now, that if people understand what's going on with the market, you have to be responsible with your money. You have to understand what you're doing with your money before you go and get in deeper. Because how many mortgages are coming up for renewal in 24 and 25 right now?
Yeah, so 24 and 25, 26 will be the biggest because we have the most number of transactions.
65% of mortgages are coming up from...
It'll be pretty big. And I do want to talk to you about that because, of course, what's lying in the lurk right now? Well, it's the Bank of Canada. And I do want to talk to David about this because there are a few situations that we should turn around and look at prior to anybody jumping back into the market. Because guess who's sitting there saying, I'm not moving the interest rates right now because I'm afraid everybody's going to start buying real estate again. Hey, Mr. Macklin. That's right. Tiff Macklin, head of the Bank of Canada. Hey, listen, you know what? Back off. Okay. You're going to have to get out of our way. You're going to have to be a nice guy. Canadians are suffering enough. As I always do talk about our current federal leader, as well as the head of the Bank of Canada. But, you know, we'll talk about more about that when we come back. And when we come back, I'm going to have more with David Greenspan. So stay with us. We'll be right back after this. And welcome back. If you're tuning in right now for the first time, I have David Greenspan in-house here with me. David's been on my show before. You know, I've been watching his career grow over the years. He is definitely what I would consider a very, very good coach, but motivational speaker. And, you know, it's funny because everybody sits there and says, oh, yeah, everybody can be a motivational speaker. No, not really. You know what? I would say it's a very, very, very you know, interesting pyramid. There's only like a couple at the top, and you can consider David one of those. David happens to be the CEO and founder of Mindshare 101. David, just before the break, you and I were having a fun little banter about, you know, obviously realtors' commissions and everything else. And, and of course, the 2021 debacle of, you know, real estate market that got overheated for sure. And right now, Bank of Canada is sitting there. Tiff Macklin, thanks for tuning in, Tiff. Appreciate you listening to me every Sunday. You know, glad you're going to get some more advice from me as you usually do. But here's the thing. He's turned around and said, look, I'm not going to be moving the interest rates yet because I'm a little worried that the real estate market's going to overheat. So, Dave, before I get your you know, input on this, let's be clear, Mr. Macklin, okay? At 5%, you do a quarter point reduction, that's 4.75. Do you really think everybody's going to slit their wrists and come back into the market? There is no way that you're going to get a runaway. Now, the other thing is the stress test is still way up there. So they still not qualifying. What you keep forgetting is that quarter point is just an indication that we're going to go one direction and one direction only. Okay, you're going to spur the economy a little bit. Oh, you know, God forbid that we're actually going to have a decent economy in Canada. Okay, you're going to turn around and you're actually going to give some people some hope for the mortgage renewals that are going to come up. Look at 24, if we had five-year term mortgages, those are the 2018s. 2018 was an okay year, not bad. 2019 started getting a little bit of traction. 2020 had its bumps because of COVID. You know, we started off good, then we kind of flattened out, flatlined. We had to see if, you know, what's going to happen. Is the world going to collapse? But 21, so, you know, Mr. Macklin, let's be clear. You need to reduce rates for sure before 26 comes along. And, you know, it's 24. Do you think everybody could get a little bit of a break? David, I got a real problem with the Bank of Canada right now. You know, people are going to sit there and say, yeah, well, it's the spender's fault. Well, you know, Bank of Canada turned around and told everybody they weren't going to jump rates. They said, you know, go spend money. The actual narrative, and by the way, Chrystia, I'll throw that in there, Chrystia Freeland, you know, the finance minister. Canadians have saved too much money. Go spend it. Put it into the economy. As a good Canadian, she actually said, to be a good Canadian, you need to go spend some of your savings. Are you kidding me?
Listen, it is, look, you know, we're bringing up the Bank of Canada. I'm going to bring up the government of Canada and say, we got, which you just touched the tip of the iceberg there. We got some major problems, right? When we look at the economy, I agree with you. From 5% down to a 4.75, is everybody just going to go out and start doing? I don't think so. At the same time, I'm a little fearful that maybe people are like that naive to the fact that, oh my God, rates have come down. I can go do. Same thing I've been saying to anybody though. The minute rates come down at all, what happens to the prices? They're going to start to creep. Why? Because there might be a little bit more confidence in the actual market itself. I think that the bigger picture to a lot of this stuff right now, beyond just maybe a rate drop, is also just looking at the cost of living. I mean, everywhere we go, I play a lot of hockey, I coach a lot of hockey, sports, baseball. Every locker room conversation right now, every water cooler conversation right now, it's all about economy. It's all about the cost of living.
Affordability.
I was talking to my wife the other day. She says to me, well, the other day, we do talk every day. I just want to put that clearly. But I was talking with her and she was making note about the fact that a bag of carrots coming out of Brantford, Ontario, runs an Ontarian $3. The same bag of carrots that's going down to somebody in the United States, south of our border, much higher cost of logistics, they're paying 99 cents for the exact same bag from Brantford, Ontario. So when we look at the economy itself and we look at the cost of living, Canada's getting to a point where it is very unaffordable. Average price or average amount of money you need, I think in the province of BC, especially Vancouver, you need about $264,000 in the household just to actually be able to afford an average price home. Now, I know when I say that, there's a lot of people that say, well, I don't live in Vancouver. I live out in the suburbs or out in the outskirts of that. Or I don't live in Toronto proper. I live out, you know, a few hours out of that. So it's a different market, but it's all relative.
Sure.
Right? Cost of living is still up.
Yep.
And when we start to look at the amount of money people need to make in this country right now to be able to afford to live, it's unaffordable. I mean, we want to go to the depths of this thing right now. How's the carbon tax, 23% increase, yet the so-called leader of the federal party, I can't even, okay, got a pay raise. How's that work? Did you see how much money he spent on his Jamaican vacation?
I did.
$260,000? Now, if anybody wants to stand up and say to me, but he's got the security detail. Hey, I got you. When was the last time you spent that kind of money on a 10-day vacay? In fact, he did the same vacation last year for $140,000. $400,000 on 20 days of vacation? Then we had to send a second plane out there for him because the first plane wasn't safe enough. I'd rather he flew in the first plane. Just saying. None of it makes sense anymore. And again, as we bring it back to a housing market, now you look and go, going from 5% down to 4.75, is that just going to spark people to buy? You might have some, but I really believe that the inability to afford these days, the inability to have that lifestyle that everybody wants, I believe it's really sinking in for Canadians, and something's got to give.
So here's where I got to throw in my doomsayers side of things, okay? So immigration, okay?
Big problem.
Immigration is through the roof. You know, it's amazing. They don't know how to calculate the actual numbers of new people coming into the country. You know, one minute they're saying it's 500,000, then a million five. And, you know, when they turn around, and it was funny how fast we ripped through 41 million to get to 42 million, you know, in 3 months, all of a sudden we had another million people in Canada. Hey, listen, at that expansion, that's 4 million a year. Look, the problem that I'm struggling with a lot, and, you know, we could talk, and people ask me all the time, Todd, you really beat up the federal government. Hey, look, when you got Bozo the Clown ready to be
able to...
It's just too easy. Look, can we talk about the provincial governments across Canada? Of course you can. That's normally where housing gets built. But the fact that the federal government has now recognized that they have over, you know, leveraged the actual population and put too many people in, right? And they're sitting there actually admitting that, oh, maybe we had too much immigration going in. Well, you could have thought of that before. So then you create a housing problem. And when people talk about a housing problem, an affordability problem, my struggle with that is that, you know, everybody sits there and says, well, you know, that house once sold for X and now it's going to sell for $1.2 million. Yeah. When you talk about your parents, your grandparents, you know, they bought something for, you know, 20,000, 100,000, 200,000, and now it's $1.2 million. We need to take and put everything into perspective. Okay. The fact is that building was a lot cheaper back in the day. We have costs that have overridden to a level that you can't even compete on any stage. You've got, you know, a social, you know, climate that is absolutely destroying us. You've got unions, you've got insurance. Like, look, anybody check their house insurance lately, see what it is? I can tell you, managing condominiums, condominium insurance has tripled for most condominiums. When we take a look at what's the overall cost and it trickles down, it all trickles down into real estate. Like, the end result is that you're about to have 30% of the builders retire over the next 10 years. So we will have nothing being able to be built. You jam a bunch of million people into it. You got a government that thinks that they can build 1.5 million homes. I asked them to build 50,000 and report back to us. And guess what? Crickets.
Okay. 1.5 million by 2031.
Yeah.
How many people did we just bring in?
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't make sense. The math doesn't work out.
Math doesn't work at all. Okay. Right now we are. I would say 2 million homes short of existing population, not including growth.
Right.
Okay, now throw in some growth in there. You know, by the time 2031 comes around, they are forecasting a 5 million unit shortage. 5 million units. Now, I appreciate the fact that the government is sitting there saying, hey, listen, we're offering to build, you know, 230 up in Nanuktuk, but that's not going to solve the housing problem.
And that's, look, we hear about low income housing. We hear about, you know, building up. Well, when we look at some of these condos, and I mean, we're seeing a lot of this stuff. Some of this stuff is just not big enough. If you play sports, where are you putting the hockey equipment? Where are you putting your bicycle? You talk about the cost of insurance. Think about car insurance with all the thefts going on right now. That's gone up crazy. Look at utilities. I look at the hydro bill, the gas bill. They've all gone up a few hundred bucks a month. Everything is going up, the cost of living. And again, it all comes back to what impact is it having on the home buyer, home seller, inevitably on real estate.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't be more right. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to start a unicycle group that plays hacky sack. So forget about all the sports equipment. You can live in your 400 unit condominium and you'll be all set. And with that thought, we're going to come back right after this. So stay with us. We'll be right back. And welcome back. I got to tell you, I'm having some fun with my guest in studio today. You know, David Greenspan is a motivational speaker. He's a coach, you know, for the real estate world. You know, he's very accomplished. And one of the biggest things that you have to understand in any industry, having a coach is paramount if you want to get to the top of the game. I mean, look, you can sit there and say, you know, oh, I wish. Hey, look, you know what? Forget about wishing. You know, that and maybe, you know, a penny going in a wishing well, you might get somebody to, you know, react to you. But let's be honest. If you want to have success, you need a coach. And just so you know, David is the CEO and founder of Mindshare 101. David, just before the break, you and I were, you know, you and I were taking some pot shots at some of the governing officials, and not themselves. We didn't mention anybody, of course, because I heard about Trudeau on air. But you know, one of the things I got to tell you is that you know, the world of real estate continues to evolve. It continues to change. We do have a true inventory shortage. We've got a lot of pent-up demand, and this is where, you know, I get a shout-out to Tiff Macklin. Hey, look, pent-up demand is going to be pent-up demand. You keep, you know, stalling on that interest rate, it's even going to get worse. I think that based on what we're looking at, you know, we were talking about, you know, square footages and things like that, I think people are going to force themselves to adjust. In fact, what I think is going to happen is that, you know, you're going to see a lot of people creating duplexes, triplexes in singular homes. I think you're going to see multiple families moving into a home. I think that people are going to force themselves to adjust because of the lack of inventory.
Now, yes, agreed. People are going to force themselves. This is where we got to go deeper for a moment. And I say this because I know in speaking with a lot of people that we get to speak with, mindsets are taking a real big hit right now. What people believe to be that dream that they've always wanted, that if I get up and I work hard and I make my money and I save my money and I do my best to invest my money, I should have the opportunity to grow, to buy a house, to buy the car that I want, to go on the vacation I want to go on, to have the things I want. And what we're finding right now from the market, it's almost impossible these days. And we start thinking about the fact that if I buy a house, I should consider having a renter in my basement. I should consider sharing. I should consider smaller. Then why am I getting up and working as hard as I am? And for the government to take that much money that they take on income tax, then to tax us on the way out when we go and buy something, what money is anybody left over with? And so it's, again, it's a deeper conversation with people around the responsibility of where they live, what their expectations are, what they're hoping for in life, what those big goals are. Because now you got to look at the realities of, hey, if people are going to be forced into having to get into these smaller units and combined living and whatnot, is that what you want? And if it's not, are you willing to make a move? Are you willing to go elsewhere? Because there are a lot of places where you can find real estate that is much cheaper than any one of these major centers in this country.
No, and that's a good point. You know, creating solutions, you know, come to me with a solution, not a problem. But, you know, that said, you know, a lot of people will always come up with the, but I shouldn't have to, right? And that's the fallback, right? I shouldn't have to.
Now, I get that.
Did we get lulled into a certain perception? And I'm going to blame the government because look, there's just
we always blame the government.
But I mean, we should
in this current situation, yes, very much
100%. They were told that there was going to be an inventory shortage, you know, years ago. The federal and provincial governments can't even get their act together to solve the problems. You know, you get some BS that comes out as far as promises about giving, you know, like, I'm sorry, $6 billion in funds to be able to help build. Are you kidding me? That doesn't even scratch the surface.
We know we've got all these problems. He came out the other day, the clown, and he says, we're bursting at the seams with immigration.
Yeah.
Now you're doing that? And I'm going to throw it out there.
How did that happen?
You're starting to buy your votes. You're starting to put out the narrative that says, hey, I know election's going to be coming around, so let me say the things that people want to hear. And I'm hoping, I really am hoping and praying that us as Canadians can actually look at it and say, it's a bunch of BS.
Yeah.
I'm not buying into it. We need to change. Something's got to change. Because again, that whole thing of, well, you know, I have to, I'm being forced into, and some people just have to come to reality, but I shouldn't have to.
Yeah.
I will say this. When our parents or grandparents or even great-grandparents were buying coffee, buying chocolate bars, buying whatever, a loaf of bread, 5 cents, 2 cents. I remember when gas was at 34 cents. Yep. Then all of a sudden it climbed over a dollar and we all sat there thinking, oh my God. And the lowest it ever came back down to was a dollar.
Yep.
COVID came around and everything shot up like crazy, almost $2. Now what are we sitting at today, as of today, $1.60? And it's like, oh, we're in good shape. So there's always going to be some level of inflation. There's always going to be some level of things are going to cost more.
Of course.
But it's gotten to a point where it's unaffordable for people. And that's where the mindsets are coming into play. And that's, again, that's where we got to be. Something's got to change.
So speaking of mindset, do you want to tell our listeners, because, you know, we do, by the way, we do have quite a following from realtors, and I appreciate it. For those of you that do join me on the show, I do want to thank you. You know that I'm an advocate of, you know, the professionalism that real estate should have and can have. And that a lot of you do, you know, definitely show out there in the industry. David, what's the best way if somebody wants to reach out, find out more about how to be the best, you know, agent they can be themselves? How do they find out about Mindshare 101?
I appreciate you asking that. And I just want to say the same thing, that there's a lot of amazing, amazing realtors out there, amazing, amazing people. And I thank them all for doing the great work they do. And no matter what goes on and who they're up against out there in competition, don't let anybody worry you. Don't worry about the market. Don't worry about the competition. Worry about the person you're looking at in the mirror. Get a hold of us.
Yeah.
Go over to the website, www.mindshare101.com. Again, that's www.mindshare101.com as well. Follow us on Instagram at DavidGreenspan101. You know, we're on Facebook, we're on TikTok, but go over to Instagram, DavidGreenspan101. Go to the website, mindshare101.com. From there, you'll be able to get to anywhere you need to.
Excellent. Well, listen, thanks for joining me in the studio today. I greatly appreciate it. Folks, you know, one of the things I have the ability of doing is that I typically have that little time to be able to vent. And I do want to talk about something really important just as we close out the show. It really is important to me, is that being a Canadian, does anybody remember what that is? Does anybody truly remember what being a Canadian means?
It's like a fate.
You know, it's the good, it's the good person. It's the doing the right thing, being mindful, watching out for each other. You know, I remember as a kid, you know, my neighbors, if something happened to me in front of their house, they would turn around and automatically they would just, you know, come out, they'd help me out. I always knew if I had said to my parents, hey, I'm just down at the Brown's house, they knew exactly where they had that much confidence. I think we've lost being Canadians. I think that the existing government has lost the plot for Canadians. And I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but what I do know is that we're on the wrong track today. Yeah. I think, and I always will think this, is that I believe that everybody should have the right of ownership. You have to earn it. Okay, look, it can't be free. Okay, we have to understand one thing. We can't get a handout, like handing out houses doesn't work, okay? You do have to earn it. But you know the amazing thing is? You'll have so much more passion. You'll have so much more, you know, gratitude in the fact that you create your home. This is something we need to remember because the next generation is the one that's going to be affected the most. Okay. And the next generation really should be a lot of our concerns at this point. You know, I do talk about obviously my seminar coming up, and that's April the 27th. Go to thesimpleinvestor.com. But one of the things that I do at that seminar is I try to help you create solutions for the next generation. And that's one of the things I think that we should all be very mindful of today. Because I got news for you. It's not looking so good. You know what? The debt is through the roof. You know, we talk about the CPP. Does anybody really know the numbers? Let me give you the facts. The typical male Canadian right now, when they go on CPP, they get just over $760 per month. Here's the atrocity of things. The typical female Canadian is only getting $400 a month from the CPP. So you know what? It's disgusting. Okay, we can sit there, we pay into it, and the government will sit there and say, oh no, we give it back. Hey, you know what happens when you die? They keep it. So the truth is that ultimately in the end, we can work all that we can, but the most important thing is you got to remember one thing. You as a Canadian need to protect yourself as a Canadian and your kids as Canadians. Anyways, I do want to thank Aiden, my producer. He keeps it simple for me every single week. Once again, I want to thank David Greenspan for being on the show with me. And more importantly, I want to thank you for tuning in and making us the number one real estate talk show as usual. And of course, I'll be back next week. And thanks for listening. I'm your host, Todd C. Slater. You've been listening to Simply Real Estate right here on News Talk 1010.
You're either listening to this on one of your favorite podcast platforms, or maybe you went to my website, mindshare101.com. And while you're there, be sure to download your free copy of the Ultimate Marketing Bundle and learn more about our one-to-one coaching and keynote speaking. A reminder as well to get yourself booked for our live in-person Mindshare Mastermind taking place in Toronto on September 16th through the 18th. This is a room you want to be in. For all inquiries, just get in touch with us today. And don't forget to leave a review of this podcast at www.ratethispodcast.com/Mindshare101, as well as connect with me on Facebook and TikTok at Mindshare101 and on Instagram at DavidGreenspan101. I want to thank Kits Keep In Touch Systems, Rem Magazine, and Aurea for sponsoring this episode. This has been another episode of the Mindshare Podcast. Thank you for tuning in.